I think that if given some opportunities, we can be very efficient in delivering projects. That's one of the topics that's been discussed here. Our paving projects have about a 2% engineering cost on top of them. Most projects are at least at 10%, and soft costs in general can get as high as 50%. So a lot of the funding for projects goes to those soft costs. We're going to be working very hard to keep those costs low and delivering these projects in a very efficient way. We are currently involved with the counties in the League of Cities to develop and implement a needs assessment. We've done it through MTC as part of our payment management program and the Bay Area Partnerships work, but now it's being done on a statewide basis, and I think you'll be shocked at the deficiency that is out there and the need that is out there. So being complacent about the sources of funding, the methods of funding, is really not an option at this point. We need to be much more aggressive in doing that. We haven't had a chance, either I or the League, to really take a careful look at the report in its entirety. We're looking forward to reading it, and we do appreciate the involvement throughout.
Thank you. And now, finally, Rusty.
And I can be very brief. Rusty Selix, California Association of Councils of Governments, and Mr. Heminger is the executive director of one of our member agencies. For the most part, he speaks for all of us. So for the most part,
well, thank you.
His words can cover a statewide, and that is probably one of the most important elements that, in terms of the federal, is that California has 52 members of the House, and to get them to speak with one voice is an enormous challenge. It's incumbent upon all of us to send a single message, unified message that covers everyone at the table and everyone around the room, that we come together around that. And in addition to this being a call to action for Congress, I think we would view this report as a call to action for you. Every single one of the problems and needs that were articulated at the national level also need to be addressed at the state level. And as Mr. Heminger mentioned, what we do here may set the stage for what they do there. I think also Ms. Phillips talked about the protection of the environmental laws. In virtually all respects, California's environmental laws are stronger than the national laws, and I think you can find a way of delegating decision-making to us that would expedite things without streamlining or weakening the federal laws, and that's the type of direction that I think Caltrans and us are working on. The revenue issue cannot be ignored, though. We've had a position for many years that we must find a way to get transportation to be treated like a public utility. Whether it's a commission at the state level, a national level, the regional level, when you have like the LA Water and Power and other types of public utilities, the rates are adjusted annually. We need a way to raise the rates and get them sustainable so that it's on an autopilot basis instead of the constant political battle of coming back for, as Mr. Ackerman said, Band-Aids, and yet every single one of those is a political challenge. Until we get to that place, it's hard to see that any of the other objectives of the commission can really be realized, because without any significant new revenues, we're not going to get there. The structure that he proposed is one that we all endorse. The one thing that I think we've learned, though, is that we can't keep talking about being a donor state, because that seems to go against the idea of justifying the federal investment. Focusing on freight and the international competitiveness and the environmental needs and all that, of increasing the federal investment is a much better way that we can attract a better share, because Rhode Island still has as many votes in the Senate as we do. And as long as that's the case, simply saying we're not getting our share isn't going to be the best way to get the message. And that's all I have to say. We turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you. Next, Assemblymember Furutani.
Thank you, Chairman Lowenthal. Rather than ask a question, as the newest member of the Assembly, I think I'm just going to go home. We had a presentation today by Elizabeth Hill in our caucus meeting, which we talked about the budget. And I know that in terms of the logic of what we do in California will dictate how we make our argument at the federal level is pretty impeccable. I also know that the newspaper articles the last 2 days have highlighted the issue of the cost of gasoline. And a lot of our folks just don't know the difference between the gas tax and paying extra money at the pump. And as a result of that, making this case that you want to make, I think it's going to start with some major education about what goes on. I think also, candidly, from a district that has a very interesting juxtaposition relative to other neighboring districts, I'm a part of Senator Lowenthal's district as well as Senator Janiora Pace's. We have neither the LA Port or the Long Beach Port in the 55th Assembly District, but everything that goes in and out of both ports goes through the 55th Assembly District. 710 Freeway, 110 Freeway, 405, 91, Terminal Island Freeway, Alameda Corridor, and the prevailing wind. So in looking at those issues, a concern I have, and the question to Steve, sorry to be so familiar since we're just meeting, but this issue of joining at the hip, the question of movement of goods, which is undoubtable, the importance of transportation, and I still think moving it efficiently fast is really critical. But it's got to be joined at the hip relative to this issue of the environment. It just does. How about other parts of the country? How are they looking at it? Is it the question that we have the highest environmental issues and restrictions, or are they as concerned as we are relative to port areas and high-density transportation areas and the resulting health problems?
I do believe that the challenge faced in the LA Basin is, it's probably of the same kind, but it is of a different degree because it is so severe. But I will say in the hearings we had around the country, the same issues are coming up at the other ports, perhaps not in as severe a way, and perhaps not as immediately today. Maybe there they are looming, Dave. You know, the issue is not looming at the ports of LA and Long Beach. And so to that extent, we are at the cutting edge. And to that extent, I think some of the solutions that we have started to implement here, like pairing the trade and the air quality money in the bond, I think those are going to be very influential in the debate in Washington, especially because, as I said earlier, one of our senators chairs the Senate committee with jurisdiction over this bill. And so I think those subjects are now joined at the hip. I don't think they're going to be torn asunder again. And I think what we have now is essentially a mutual veto. And we've got to figure out a way not to exercise the veto, but to make progress. Because the communities that are affected by goods movement, I think, are, especially in the LA Basin, my understanding, so concerned about it that they are not going to tolerate expansion unless we figure out a way to expand in a different way. Expand we must, in my opinion, I think in our commission's opinion, but it's got to be in a way that is respectful of the community and that protects public health. There's not a choice to be made there.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Duvall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I'm going back to some stuff that you said earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and say Steve as well, even though we really haven't officially met. But there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm kind of going all over the board here, but I'm a person that comes from local control, being a mayor of the city of Yorba Linda, OCTA. And I know that on one of your slides you included some self-help. But I don't think it's hard for me to sit here and believe that it was really calculated right. When you think about LA having a 1 cent sales tax across the board that goes to transportation, and there's not even a sunset on that, and then you think of Orange County with a 0.5 cent sales tax for another 30 years, it's hard for me to look at these numbers. So let me just go through your thing here a little bit. We talked about the gas tax, okay? So the state's 18.4, the feds are 18, and then we have sales tax on top of that, which I think is crazy to put sales tax on top of a tax, but hey, that's how it works. So you're looking at about 60.5 cents per gallon right now. And I understand there's been, you know, that didn't go up percentage-wise with the amount of gasoline does, but I'm still looking at a lot of money here. And then we also have the ports that the Port Authority already put a container fee on, you know, above and beyond what you're thinking about already. They just put that on. I don't see where that's in here at all. And that's just that just got put on in the last month or two.
Right, that's okay. For port infrastructure, just right. Within the Tidelands. Just that has nothing to do with your community.
I understand, but I'm still
community.
Talking about the fact that it's a container fee that's been added. So we've got that going on. And then when we got over to miles driven on your slide projection of number 9, I've got a 96 Dodge or a 96 Chevy Tahoe that when I drive to LA and back, it's about 24.5 miles to the gallon. I have a 1985 Chevy pickup on my ranch that gets 8 miles to the gallon. But yet on your U.S. fuel economy for new light duty vehicles, if you look back at 1984, the vehicle I'm talking about, you have that at 22 miles per gallon as a light duty vehicle. So I'm not happy with this chart either, because I'm a firm believer that the newer vehicles, not only are they more fuel efficient, they're better for the environment. So by looking at this, it looks like I should have never bought a newer vehicle because I'm not getting a better deal. But anyhow, then we go over to your world versus U.S. greenhouse gases. I went to France with Fabian, and I went to high-speed rail, and France is a country the size of Texas that has 52 nuclear power plants. I've also been to China with my wife, and I've been to a country where they don't care at all about the air. And yet, when I'm looking at these different guidelines, industrial, power stations, disposal, residential, and commercial, I don't know where these numbers came from either, because if I'm going to compare us to 34% for greenhouse gases for residential and commercial, and I'm looking at the rest of the world at 10, I'm having a problem with that one, too. The other thing is, it really goes back to what Phil said, Sonoma County Department, that you made some very good points, in my opinion. First of all, the 18 cents tax, and I understand what Rusty said right in front of me here, Rusty, about we shouldn't say we're a donor county or community or a state. But I'm from Orange County, where, you know, we just send bread in us. But my point is that local control is important to people that live in those communities. When we have Measure M in Orange County that subsidizes Amtrak, that subsidizes Metrolink, that subsidizes the buses, which we're trying to get the new BART, or what we call Bay Area, our rapid transit bus system in, we are already throwing so many millions of dollars at these problems. And we're always comparing this, Southern California or California as a state, to cities from the East Coast that were built many years ago. My grandmother never owned a car in her life. Never owned a car in her life on the East Coast. My grandmother out here had two, because she wanted to be not in this city. She wanted. So California, when people were moving out here, wanted to be away from things. Because populations have grown, we have these problems, I understand that. But we really need to find out, and I really like the local idea and input on these issues. Even Mr. Lowenthal and I, when we were down in Orange County, talking about that, the container fee that you had last year, that I haven't been completely convinced yet, but I'm turning a little bit on maybe there's some reality to that, as long as it stays next to the borderline of the tracks where it's affecting, and I think that's great. But when we're talking about safety, and you brought up the numbers, and on your slide on page 12, you have the people killed in traffic crashes, and then you have the one per million, and I don't know whether this is for the world or whatever, but his point about rural areas and streets that have, I've got Carbon Canyon Road, I've got Ortega Highway. We try to put paint on there, but the traffic accidents are there. And I don't care what we do with the federal money. We're not going to make that any safer. Those people are going to still run into each other. I live out here in Natomas. They don't even have bots dots out there. And I'm lucky I know where I live, because when it's foggy and dark, I have to drive really slow, because that's where those accidents are happening. It's not here in the city. So anyhow, those are my points. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for those very thoughtful comments, especially about the container fee. Will Assemblymember Horton.
One of your major recommendations is to help infuse much-needed funding to build the transport or to enhance our transportation system is to utilize the public-private partnerships. During my tenure as a mayor of the city of Chula Vista, I actually had the opportunity to be involved in one of the public-private partnership, 3Ps, and SR 125. That project started 18 years ago when I was a planning commissioner. It took 18 years to build that project. So my concern is, I'm extremely glad and supportive of this concept, but somehow we do need to get rid of the duplicative processes, the abuses in the process. And I am going to specifically talk about some of the environmental issues that we ran into. We went through and received every major federal environmental approval, all the state environmental approvals, and all the local environmental approvals. Yet, through the years, we had several major environmental lawsuits that we, in the end, we would win, or we would just pay off those environmental groups just so that we could proceed and get this project up and running. So during your renewal process, you need to look at very seriously at streamlining these processes. Otherwise, most of us will be dead by the time you get another major project off the ground.
If I could just say one thing, and maybe going back to a point that Catherine made, because I do believe we need to try to engage this issue differently. you mentioned the phrase performance-based approach to environmental improvement, and I couldn't agree more. What we tried to do in our report is take that kind of performance-based approach to everything that we could find, because today we tend to focus on projects. We don't focus on outcomes and performance results. And our environmental review process is just that. It's process-oriented. It's not outcome-oriented. And in my opinion, if we could figure out a way to refashion it so that it achieves the outcomes we're seeking without consuming so much time, because the time is what's killing us. And I really don't think the time is improving the product. The time is simply adding cost to the project. So I have to believe that people of goodwill could figure out a different way to achieve those objectives. Because I think we didn't hear any testimony before our commission about weakening environmental standards.
I'm not advocating weakening any of the standards.
I don't think anybody in the discussion is talking about that, but we simply have to find a way to move through those procedures more quickly. And my view is perhaps if we had a performance outcome that we were driving at, we could maybe get better outcome with less process.
Yeah. In closing, I just want to close off this, and maybe if anybody has any last comments, because there is the Budget Committee, which is supposed to start at 3:45 in here. I just want to say I want to first thank Steve for that excellent presentation, all the respondents for really adding something, also all the members. I think people really were engaged in the process. I really applaud all the members. And you know, I just want to say, while I have, just as everyone does, have criticisms, there are things that we need to improve here. We need to expedite the process or speed up the process in some way. But I'm also extremely proud to be a Californian. I really think that what you've said is that while we have a long way to go, in this area, I think we really are trying to pull together a comprehensive performance-based approach. We didn't do it because of this report. We did it before the report. We're still working. We have lots of issues. We have lots of issues around funding. We have lots of issues about project delivery. But I really think that we also, every so often, should step back and say, you know, there's a lot going on here in California that's extremely positive in this area. And a report like this reflects the fact that at least this state is out there trying. We have a lot more to go in all of these areas, but we are definitely trying. And so I want to thank everyone, and we're going to continue this discussion and have a follow-up. But right now, we're going to move to that my other favorite topic, and that is, who took the money or the budget?
Come. Oh, my budget here.